As we prepare to hear Holy Scripture this morning, I invite you to join me in our prayer of illumination. The words are in your bulletin or on the screen above, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, friends, let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. As we continue with our Saving Grace sermon series, worship series, we do have three particular scripture verses and stories that I will share. The first for you this morning is Proverbs 21:20. Precious treasure remains in the house of the wise, but the fool devours it. Our second scripture comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke from the 12th chapter, verses 16 through 21. Hear now this parable from Jesus. Then Jesus told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, what should I do? For I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. Our last scripture comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. The lover of money will not be satisfied with money, nor the lover of wealth with gain. This also is vanity. Friends, these are the words of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, as we continue to journey through understanding the fact that you are a God of abundance and everything that we have is a good gift from you, you call us to live in ways that demonstrate our faithful living. So today, have us hear from these ancient words which you would have us hear, that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I give thanks to Pastor Amy, who preached for me last week. I was here, and if we were doing this study together, giving and saving go hand in hand. But I knew that coming to sermons or to worship, to focus on both at one time would be a little bit too much. So last week she focused on giving with the faith, you know, with the goodness of heart and for purpose to be towards God's glory. And today I get to talk about savings. Now, savings can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different folks. And it really pushes us to first recognize what our relationship is to money. That sometimes our relationship with money, that if we have it, it might mean that we have freedom, independence to do whatever it is that we want or we need to do. That we are able to not rely or depend on something else. Sometimes having enough money may make us feel secure, meaning that we are looking for stability where there may not be any. If we have money, then maybe we feel a little bit more secure in that. Perhaps having money equates to having power, control over the facets of your life. And if you have more money, then you have more power, you're more successful. This may be true for you. Or perhaps having more money relates to love. Either that if you have money, then you're able to use your resources to show love to the people that matter to you, to build relationships. Or the flip side of that is if you have money, then maybe it's meeting a love need for you that maybe hadn't been met before because money had been scarce in the past. Which I don't know what dynamic works for you, but I invite you to think about what your relationship is with money, because it affects how we decide to save money. So the world will tell you, if you have it, spend it, right? Or if you don't have it, spend it anyway. Do you know what I mean? And that is where we are faced with this dilemma of credit and debt being so incredibly high for so many that we know. Because the world is telling us that if we have it or if we don't have it, it's okay. You can get whatever it is that you want, but it's probably going to cost you more in the end. You may also hear the world tell you that it's futile to save. What good is that going to do? Just use it in the moment and forget about all the other things. But John Wesley, in his sermon, says, earn all you can, save all you can, and give all you can. So Pastor Amy focused on the giving part. A couple weeks ago, I talked about earning it in a way that honored who you are and who you are in relationship with, that we do need to meet our basic needs. And there are times when we are called to actually save. But if we're saving to the point of detriment to our own selves, then we have lost sight of the faithful living aspect of saving according to God. See, the those who save wisely are righteous in the eyes of God. But if you err to the side of hoarding, as we heard in the parable, then you are not being faithful to what God has called you to. So I was thinking about this, and I will tell you, I only went to one place, and I was looking for fake money. Have any of y'all gone to the store to look for fake money? And I know I could have gotten like a Monopoly game or some type of game that has money built into it that you use, and I could have used that, but I was like, well, I can get some poker chips for $10, or I can get a game that I'll never play for $15 or $20. So I'll go with the poker chips. And I brought them in. And just to show you how little I understood about poker chips, we had to do a little Google searching to find out what the values of the poker chips were, right? Because these are not print, these are not marked, so you can set whatever value you want to them. So according to Google, these white chips are $1. Red chips are 5. Green chips, 25. Black, 100. And blue, or it could be purple, depending on what color, were 500. Okay, so that's kind of what we had. But each one is an increment, right? So if you have 5 of these, it equals a red one. And if you have 5 red ones, it equals the green one. But you can basically set up piles that would equal something else, right? So I said, well, since I can set them to be anything that I want, I'll make them up myself, okay? So I will keep the white ones as $1, okay? But the red ones, I'm going to make $10. So for every 10 white ones, I can do 1 red one. And for, you know where this is going, for every $10, for every 10 of those, I will end up with what? 100, right? Where are my math people? Okay. And if I take 10 100s, I will end up with 1,000. And for every 10 of these, I will end up with 10,000. And if I have 10 of those 10,000s, I will have $100,000. But do I really? No. But I can pretend, which makes me laugh the one time. So going back to savings, this is just a side note, which I think y'all might find interesting. So I do work part-time in customer service at Publix, and I work the customer service desk, and I do money services, transactions, all that kind of stuff. But I also have to verify that the bills that are being used are not counterfeit. So there are ways that you have to measure, and every 20, every 50, 100, you can put it under the UV light. And there have been a couple of times where I've seen fake $100 bills. But I think the one that took the cake was the fake $20 bill that basically management came to me and said, don't ever take a bill that looks like this. And I'm like, okay. It basically said, for movie use only. It literally was fake money that you would use in a movie set. But somebody in the store had actually accepted it as valid tender, which then meant we lost that $20. Right? So anyway, I say that because I just thought it was pretty interesting. And also working in the grocery store, when you check somebody out, you'll say, well, today you saved $20.33 because you bought X amount of BOGO deals and you used your coupons or whatever it is, right? But when we're talking about saving, did you actually save that or did you spend what you actually spent? Does that make sense? Be like, okay, well, that's great. I saved $30, but I spent $300. Do you know what I mean? And some of the customers will just kind of smirk at me and be like, yeah, really, I saved $2. I did not. I spent $50. But I also see the other side of folks who try to save as much as they can, which comes to super couponing. Does anybody know super couponing? And they will find the things that are buy one, get one, so they're 50% off. Then they're allowed to have a manufacturer coupon and a store coupon, but we accept competitors' coupons, so it could be that store or another store, right? So you could have a half-off item with a manufacturer's coupon and a store coupon, and basically you're paying pennies for this particular product. And there are those that will do this every single week, or they'll say, well, I bought X amount of items, I should get $15 off. Well, no. If you buy five of the participating items, then you can submit for a reimbursement from the manufacturer, but you don't get it off right now. And then they get really angry, because you haven't given them the savings they felt they were entitled to. So there are ways where saving can be good, and then there are ways that savings can be detrimental. Do you see the difference? So as I think about savings in these poker chips, we can pick any color, but I'm going to pick 10. $10. And easily divisible by 10. And if y'all are my nerdy math people, you know that I did exponential tens. Makes math easy. So let's just say, hypothetically, we earn $10. Well, there are some savings that we are called to do. The first is our tithe. So according to our tithe, it would be the equivalent of what? 10%, right? So this first 10% is going to go to God. Put this here. Which means that now I have $9, okay? And ideally, and this is what the United Methodist Church expects of me, is that I am expected to put 10% into my retirement fund. So if that's the case, here's my other 10%. So now I'm left with $8, right? And I can figure out how to live from this $8. But if I don't do this off the top, I'm living into that, and I'll go to meet my own needs before I am attentive to the things God has called us to. Right? So, saving and giving are intimately connected. Because in my tithe, I give back to God because it's not mine to begin with. It's God's in the first place. It's just entrusted into my care. But God also says that you need to make sure that your basic needs are met and that in the future you are well cared for, but you're not going to be excessive in that, but have enough. So then what do I do with the rest? The savings of the rest. Well, if I listen to the world is going to say, spend it all, right? And if I don't have it, the world will say, spend it anyway. So you're getting behind. You're not able to meet your regular needs. And it's hard. It's really hard. And I believe I said a couple of weeks ago that had I known now, or had I put into practice what I was told a long time ago, I would be in a much different place today than I would have been. Because what do they tell you to do when you're young? Save. Save when you are young, because what happens is what you put in those first few years will compound over time and will continue to grow. It's a lot harder to catch back up when you start saving at an older age. How does this impact you? Do you think about saving as part of your spiritual practice, as part of your calling, your faithful living, following Christ? We may ask ourselves, well, what are the appropriate places to save? Well, one, you can save that emergency fund. How many of y'all have heard about an emergency fund? Yeah. Ideally, they want you to put all the experts say, 3 months of your living expenses you should save in case someone gets ill, in case you lose your job. There's something that means, oh my gosh, I got a flat tire, I need to repair it, how am I going to pay for it? You have an emergency fund. So that's one great way to do savings. Another appropriate place to do savings is for replacements. How many of you are homeowners? Yeah, and when you think about homeowners, that house is not going to be new forever. Am I right? You're going to eventually have to replace a dishwasher or a water heater or a washer dryer, the roof, whatever it is. So you can set aside funds in anticipation of making those replacements so that when that item no longer functions, I wanted to say implode, but I hope none of your appliances implode at home, that you're able to replace it and not be a burden onto you. And then the last place for you to save is your long-term savings. Those retirement funds, those days when you aren't able to work or anticipate retiring from your career of X amount of years, you've got to continue to live and you need funds to live, right? Hence the retirement savings. And then you can do wise investments. I'm looking at Steve, and I know he's going to help us as a church do some wise investing here so that we can actually have our money work for us and not against us, right? So what does this mean? God says that if you save and you do it wisely, attentive to what God is calling you to, you are wise. If you're storing up treasures here on earth without mindfulness of what God is calling us to, you're unwise. And that's a hard thing to deal with. It also might mean that we have to shift our lives and live in a different way, mindful of all of this. If it's something that you'd like to talk a little bit more about, I'd love to. Sometimes it's hard. Because I also acknowledge that how do you save for your future if you maybe don't make enough to meet your living expenses? Or if you're having to make choices between medical care and a utility bill. I get that too. And God is faithful. God is a God of abundance. And what we may not have, collectively we do have and can be used to benefit the whole community. For God is a God of abundance who calls us to earn all we can, save all we can, and give all we can, not for our own purposes or according to what the world tells us. Rather, because God calls us to live faithfully as stewards of all that God has made. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.